I want to invite our preacher, Dr. Ferdinand Nweke, and he's going to be preaching on the sermon topic, Rahab, Salvation by Faith.
Wow, praise the Lord. Amen. Good morning, VFC. It's a big blessing to be able to be back. It's been a while, and I want to thank God for his help for the church so far. And Happy New Year, everyone. Praise the Lord. I'm sure some of us will have been surprised when the young guys went out and then they came back again. Actually, it was at my request, and the presiding pastor, I'm very grateful, sir, that you would. Don't laugh. I don't know all the protocols, as you can see. I don't know all the, but I'm very grateful, sir, for the privilege. Everyone up there, all the young guys, welcome. It's such a blessing to be able to have you. Research was done in the U.S., and part of what they wanted to find out was to find out, why do young people backslide and walk away from Christ? These are children from Christian homes who were in church in their teenage years. And then they get into college and they just go away from Christ. And the result was shocking. What they found as the principal culprit for that was youth church. The fact that those children were not integrated into the adult church, and they had their own special youth church watered down. I'm not talking about VFC, please don't get me wrong. They had their own, special youth church, their kind of lighting, their kind of music, fluffy stuff, shorter messages, and things as they could handle them. And those things were not sufficient to give them a strong foundation for the flood that comes at your faith in college. Because, in college, your professor will attack what you are saying. He will mock you and your Christianity. One of my friends went over to the U.S. and he had graduated from university here in Nigeria. And particularly in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, those states, those areas are among the most godless places in America. And he almost lost his faith. He called me, he said, Ferdinand, what's happening to me? The professor will single him out in class and be attacking him, attacking his faith, attack his Christianity. So imagine that a young person who did not receive the foundation that the parents had is now facing this flood. They fall away from the faith. One of the burdens on my heart is the dangerous phenomenon of fervent parents of lukewarm children. Spiritual parents of carnal children is something I'm crying to God about. I say, God, deliver me that I will not be the spiritual father of carnal children, the prayerful father of prayerless children. The man can pray, but when you say, let us pray, the children go dumb. Once the prayer session is over, they come alive. Once they take their devices, you realize that, and it's not these guys that some minutes ago, they were all so quiet and lifeless and waiting for the prayer show to end. How come they are so alive when they are doing other things, but so dead when they are engaged in spiritual realities? It's a dangerous phenomenon. As a parent, your biggest responsibility is not to give your children what you call the best education. Your biggest responsibility is to transfer your convictions and to transfer it at the proper temperature. Otherwise, your children will burn, your descendants will burn what you believed. It's happening in these Western countries. And we run that danger. So I'm very grateful. And young guys, I welcome you back because God gave me a message for you. Now, I have a habit every time I have an opportunity to share the gospel in the places where I get invited. And that habit is to pray, to listen to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying to this congregation? What do you want to do in this church service? And as I was doing that, the Lord gave me a message for two categories of people. One is a message from the church. I'm going to say it, then the elders of the church, you can sit on it. The Bible says to judge every message. So this is what the Lord said. I'm going to share that with you. And then he also gave me a message for the young people. And then I will conclude with our focus for today. The first two will be very brief. So this is the message for the church. It's in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And I would request the leaders to process this message and determine how it applies, what you are going to do. But it is my responsibility to very humbly share what the Lord has put on my heart. And then while I'm doing that, I will explain a bit why. Please help me to put up Revelation chapter 2. I will quickly read it from verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Yeah. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Kindly note the qualities of this church. Please note their qualities. Say, I know your works. So they have works. Then I know your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. One version said you cannot tolerate people that are evil. And then look at that other part. He said, you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. So this was a discerning church. They will not believe trash. They check out so-called men of God, so-called apostles, and then they eventually take what is right. Verse 3 says, you have persevered. He says, and you have patience. And you have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. Please, before you go to verse 4, please. In the last couple of months, maybe about 2 months, I have spent quite some time studying Christ. It's part of, there's a book the Lord told me to work on. It's called The Glorified Christ. And of all everything I've written in my entire life, The Glorified Christ broke me. It broke me. The book, writing the book broke me. And I've been in that process in the last several months. Why it broke me was that I began to see Jesus that is very different from the regular Jesus that we know about. And one of those passages, thank you very much, one of those passages was this scripture in the book of Revelation. And here is the thing that struck me, servants of God. And then I will share the message about the church. I'm very conscious of the time. And I will honor the time allocated. The thing that broke me with this, please go back to Ephesians chapter, not Ephesians, that Revelation, the scripture that you have there. And look at, I want you to go back to verse 2. So Jesus said to this church, if you have a simpler NLT, do you have NLT, NIV, I will appreciate that. NLT, if you have. So Jesus said to this church, I know your works, your labor. Please note again the qualities of this church. I know your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil, meaning that they themselves are not evil. For you not to be able to bear those that are evil, it means that you are not evil. And those who claim to be apostles, you have tested them and you found that they are liars. They are not genuine apostles. In verse 3 now. Hello, verse 3. You have persevered. You didn't quit. You have patience. You have labored for my name's sake. You have not become weary. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know a church like this in Nigeria today? Do you want us to review it? Go back to verse 2. This is very important so that you can see what alarmed me. I know your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested so-called apostles. You found them liars. Verse 3. You are persevered. You have borne. You have patience. You have labored for my name and you have not become weary. Is VFC like this? At least I know that my local church where I attend, we don't measure up to this. Now, here is what alarmed me, is in verse 4. Please put verse 4. Nevertheless, all of verses 2 and 3, notwithstanding, I have something against you. What kind of Jesus is this that is not satisfied with all of this and he has something against them? So what do you have against them, sir? He says, look at it in that verse 4. Go back, please. Verse 4. It says, and what I have against you is that you have left your first love. Verse 5, finally. It said, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else. The church is not used to a Jesus that says, or else. Or else. That's a threat. Or else, I will come to you quickly and I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place. And the only thing that will change it is except you repent. This is alarming. To tell you the truth, servants of God, people of God, I have trembled like I've never trembled in the last 1.5 months. At looking at Christ. And the Lord said I should say to the church that this passage should be considered by the elders. What does this mean to you? I don't know the details. So the elders and the leaders, please look very closely at this passage. As men and women of God, listen to the Lord in prayer and hear what he has to say. And then you can act as appropriate. The second message the Lord gave to me is for young people. And I think I'm still young. And there are many like me, all of us are still young. But particularly for people who are much younger. And that message has to do about securing your tomorrow. Come with me to Joshua chapter 3. Incidentally, that is not far away. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 is not far away from the story of Rahab. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. So Joshua said to the people, look what Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Why? Because tomorrow, there is something that is going to happen tomorrow. What is it that is going to happen tomorrow? He said, the Lord will do wonders among you. One version said, NIV said, amazing things. He said, sanctify yourself because tomorrow, God is going to do wonders, amazing things among you. One of the things I like to do at times is to read my Bible from Igbo. I check out the Igbo Bible in the YouVersion app, and I read it. And sometimes it's amazing what I find. It's amazing. I encourage you to do it with your language. The YouVersion app has over 2,000 different languages. So you will find Yoruba, Efik, you will find Hausa, and other things there. Read it. You know, what I read when the Bible says that we are temples of the living God, I read in Igbo, he said, anyu nwanyi bu lonso nke chineke dindo. Dika chineke kurusi, He said, we ourselves, we are the temples of the God that is alive. Just like God has said, dika chineke kwuru si nge bi n'ime ha na ejegharikwa n'ime ha. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and I will be walking around, I will be perambulating from inside them. Nge bi n'ime ha na ejegharikwa ebe n'ime ha. Where will I be walking around? He said, I will be walking around from inside them. They will be my transporters upon the planet Earth. They will be my carriers. I will be moving around from inside them. I will be living inside them and living my life. I'll be walking around. So I will walk in them. I will talk in them. They will be my people and I will be their God. I love it. So I checked this one. He said, sanctify yourself, then, or see, he says, nihina echi. Echi means tomorrow. Because tomorrow, I'm translating, so I hope I'm not losing anybody, right? Because tomorrow, nihina echi, ka Jehovah geme ihe bube di chiche netiti unu. Said, because tomorrow, God is going to do glorious things that are multi-dimensional in the midst of you. So what did you need to do? They said, there is an opportunity for you to do what? To sanctify yourself. So that you don't miss out on what is coming in your tomorrow. All of you young people, listen to me. The word sanctify means to set apart, to separate. To set apart. If you had a chair and you took that chair, you removed that one chair and brought it apart, that chair is now sanctified. Sanctified in scripture was not just for human beings. Even articles were sanctified. You see, this table now is sanctified. You cannot use it for nonsense. It is set apart for holy use. So what God is saying here, and listen to me, young people, there is greatness in your tomorrow. But if you don't sanctify today, you will miss the glory. You see, it is expectation that fuels preparation. If you are not expecting anything, you don't have to do anything. You can afford to live like everybody if you are not expecting anything. I'm talking to you. You can afford to live like your classmates. Watch what they watch. Say what they say. Go where they go. Sleep with who they sleep with. If you are not expecting anything. But those who are expecting wonders tomorrow, there is a message that God has for them. What is the message? He said, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from the crowd because there are wonders in your tomorrow. You see, sanctification is a burden for those who don't know the why. You see, if you know the reason, you can go through the season. If you know the why, you can face the what's of life. Holiness is a burden for those who don't understand why. I have come to understand the reason God is calling me to set myself apart. The reason is because there is something coming tomorrow. Do you know that after Joshua read this thing to them, inside that chapter, the following day, 3 days later, River Jordan was dividing. 3 days later, they crossed from the other side into Canaan. The thing that used to be a prophecy became reality 3 days later. Wonders began to happen. The captain of the host showed up. Jericho walls began to tumble down. What if they didn't sanctify? They would have missed out on the future that God has for them. I warn you, you will remember what I'm telling you now. You will remember this message. You will remember that there was a brother called Brother Ferdinand that reminded you that there is a tomorrow. And you know the trouble? The trouble is that when people don't listen to God, they will not even realize what they missed. Because those things will never happen in their lives. Imagine that the day that Jesus called Peter, Peter did not answer. Peter never would have known what he missed. The glory of people answering your name 2,000 years after you died. How many fishermen that lived in Galilee, do you know their names? Only the ones that followed Jesus. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from the foolishness of your generation. But Ferdinand, why? Because there's a tomorrow. There is greatness in front of you. And you don't want to mess it up. And be like Esau. And trade off your birthright. Only to arrive at that place. And find that there is no room for a correction. That is the message for the younger people. The Lord is saying to you, secure your tomorrow today. How is that going to happen? Set yourself apart from the things going on in your generation. You can understand though. Listen, there was a king. These young people should be hearing what we are hearing. There was a king that sat on the throne. He was 8 years old. He was ruling a nation. Parents complain that their teenagers are estranged from them. Why wouldn't they be estranged from you when they don't believe what you believe? And they are not receiving it at the temperature that you are receiving it. The distance is widening until many of them, they slip away from the faith. My friends in Canada, they tell me stories that break my heart. How Nigerian parents ship their children to Canada. The ones that become gay. The ones that stop going to church. These are people that were brought up inside church. Is that a future? A future without Christ. Because you had enough money to send them abroad. Some of us, are in that condition. You need to get into prayer and fasting. And cry to God for mercy. To reclaim your children. So that they don't perish. They don't prosper in time and go to an eternity in a lake of fire. Except you don't believe the Bible. It's an emergency. There is a tomorrow, and you will possess that tomorrow in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What must you do? Set yourself apart. Is you set yourself apart from, and you set yourself apart to engage God. To believe him, to walk with him, to study your Bible. You put aside that social media and you wait on the word of God. You cleanse your phone of all the trash that is inside. There are people sitting inside church right now with immorality and pornography inside their phone. And they are worshiping Jesus. Is Jesus Christ a minister of sin? I say to people, keep your phone very well. It will be needed on the day of judgment. All the evidence that is needed to convict you and I, they are inside our phones. The truth actually, if you want to know what your character is like, you resemble your phone. If your phone is not holy, you are not holy. Can there be a holy man with an unholy phone? Is it possible? Who put the unholiness inside the phone? The holy man? No. You need to go and do an audit with that device. Phones are going to send a lot of people to hell. It's dangerous. The trouble with the phone is that it gives strangers direct access to your person. And Jesus said, my sheep, they don't follow the voice of strangers. 90-something percent of everybody you meet on the phone is a stranger. True or false? And they are strangers with an agenda. Blessed be God forevermore. So that brings me to the final part of what the Lord has put in my heart to share with you. And that is the matter of Rahab. Thank you very much for helping to read the Bible passages. So I will not get into reading those passages. I'll just make reference to them and then tie things up. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the Rahab story has been read. And we want to thank God for such a life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. There's another scripture I would like to add to what has been read already, I believe that that is going to be very helpful. Ephesians chapter 2 is going to tell us about the salvation by faith component. Ephesians chapter 2, so in verse 1, it talks about God made you alive, you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you once walked, you were doing what everybody was doing, you were a son of disobedience. You will see that in verse 2, all of us were sons of disobedience. And verse 3, among whom we all of us, we conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Look at that last part there. I say, and we were by nature, what? Children of wrath. By nature, not by inheritance. So all you need to be a child of wrath is to be born as a human being. Somebody say, is that fair? It's not a matter of being fair. This is the reality. Why is that so? Because we receive the nature that is an enemy of God. It's the sinful nature. He says, we are by nature the children of wrath. Then he says in verse 4, this is the miracle of salvation and the good news. He says, but God, hallelujah, but God, hallelujah, but God, this massive God that changed everything. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Now, look at that latter part of verse 5. What does he say? He said, by grace you have been saved. You see, the topic that we have says salvation by faith. The truth actually is that faith cannot save you. It is faith in something that saves, not faith itself. So faith in what saves? It is faith in grace. So that's why he says you are saved by what? Say, for by what are you saved? Everybody now. By grace you have been saved. Now, to see where faith comes in, you will now see that in verse 8. He said, for by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. So what actually saves is the grace of God. What do you need to connect with that saving grace is faith. In Titus, he said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has done what? Has appeared to all, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, godly, soberly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, it is salvation by grace, but we need faith to now believe and receive what grace has provided. Hallelujah. So what is salvation? And why is salvation important? Pay close attention, everyone up there, because this is critical. It's important you understand salvation. The word salvation connotes that somebody or something was in danger. You don't talk about salvation if there is nothing to save from. This is why Jesus came. The Bible says, in the home of Zacchaeus, the Lord Jesus Christ said, salvation has come to this house. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation is necessary because all of us, we are lost. What does the word lost mean? Lost means that we are disconnected from God in the same way that a sheep is disconnected from the shepherd and then that sheep is lost. Oy. And the trouble with being lost is that once a sheep is away from the shepherd, it is not in neutral territory. That sheep is in mortal danger. Anything can happen to that sheep. The sheep is open to the woes of the weather, and of the wilderness, wild animals, all kinds of things can attack that sheep. Why is that so? Because the sheep is not with the shepherd. So that sheep is lost. The recovery of that sheep is... Remember that even sheep that have a shepherd, lion and bear came to collect them from their shepherd. Do you remember something like that? That was what happened with David's sheep. So you can imagine sheep that is lost and away from its shepherd. The sheep that the lion and the bear came to take were David's sheep. And what happened? Their only safety was not in themselves. They were sheep are completely helpless before lions and before the bear. The only hope of the sheep is the shepherd. Hey, you are completely helpless before the devil. All of us are completely helpless. Please listen. Satan is not your classmate. There are Christians that dismiss the devil. They say, Satan, you are very stupid. Stop! Who are you calling stupid? The Bible says he deceived the whole world and you say he's stupid. Even the archangel Michael, when he was contending with the devil over the body of Moses, he did not open his mouth to insult the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. That's what the archangel said to the devil. And you are calling him stupid. Even the stupid you are calling him, he was smart enough to put it in your mouth. So as you are calling him stupid, you say, yes, I'm very stupid. Actually, I'm very stupid. Meanwhile, he's stealing from you. He's robbing your house. He's looking for what to kill. Why you are calling him stupid? Satan has thousands of years of experience. He is older than you and I by who knows how many years. Not even thousands of years. Who knows when he was created? He is not from everlasting. But certainly, you know that he was there before man was made. Because man met him in the garden. Are you following the matter here? That is the person who is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So can you imagine that then you now have a sheep, a human being, that is walking around without the good shepherd? That is mortal danger. The thief only comes but to steal, to kill, and then to do what? To destroy. This is his manifesto. Can you imagine somebody that every time he shows up, he has only come to do three things? See, Satan comes to our houses. Oh, he went to Job's house. What makes you think he doesn't come to your house? Or his agents don't come to your house? And then imagine when those demon spirits come around, there is no shepherd, there is no prayer, there is no word of God, there is no fire burning, there is no incense rising from the altar in your house. This is dangerous. So imagine sheep in this condition. That is what is meant by lost. Lost does not only end in this world, it crosses over. Please listen, everybody. Life does not end on planet Earth. Beyond time lies eternity. Eternity is the age of God himself. Eternity began in quotes, when God was born. Eternity will end when God will die. The question is, when was God born? Of course, God was not born. When will God die? Of course, God will not die. But that will give you an idea of the endlessness of eternity that is ahead of you. And the point is, when this world is over, you are going to step out of time into eternity. You are going to stand before your Maker. And the ultimate component of lost is when God looks at a person and he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." You say, "But Fernand, why is that so?" It's because of the character of God. Salvation, you see, many believers undervalue salvation. Because we don't understand the problem that Jesus solved. You know, I hear people, they say, "How can Jesus be the only way?" You probably have heard a question like that. Oprah Winfrey was, you know, one of her, advise me how many more minutes. I'm told I have 40 minutes. I think I've gone like 30 now. Is that correct? Okay. No, I want to honor the... if you provide more time for the word, I can do that. But if not, I will honor the time provided. So Oprah Winfrey had these conversations. You know these shows that she normally has. And then one lady on the show says, you know, Jesus is the only way. Ooh, Oprah erupted. How can you say Jesus is the only way? No, how can you say Jesus? No, there are many ways to God. You can go through this person. You can go through that person. You can go through that person. When you get to that thing, you call it the light. How can you say Jesus is the only way? It is the major offense that people have against Christianity. When you say Jesus is the only way. But please listen. Jesus is not the only way for nothing. Jesus is the only way because he solved problems that nobody else could solve. Jesus solved three impossible problems. Number one impossible problem is the problem of the heart of man. There is no religion that can change the heart of man. And it is out of that heart that all things, all the evils, all the wickedness, the adulteries. You go to church, but you have a side cheek somewhere. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the heart. I was preaching in Sierra Leone some years ago, and I was talking about some of these careless girls. So when I said, all of you chicks, I called them chicks. So when I said, all of you chicks, my interpreter said, foul picking. I said, correct, foul picking. That's a correct description of chicks. So the guy is a member of church, but he has chicks outside. He's chasing foul picking. And he covers his tracks. The wife has no idea of what you are doing. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the heart. Robbery, plundering, stealing, signing paper and collecting money, what you call government money, inflating contracts. Where are those things coming from? It's coming from the heart. Hatred, malice, envy, anger. Jesus said those things come out of the heart. All the religions of the world, all they do is to try to, you know, block the manifestations of the heart outside. There is no religion that can change the heart. But glory to Jesus. When a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away and all things become new. He said, I will give you a new heart. There is no religion that can do that. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things. And nobody can know it. But Jesus can change the heart. The number two impossible problem Jesus solved is the problem of the devil. The devil, Satan. I've already mentioned him. I don't have time to talk more about him. Who could deliver human beings from the oppression of the wicked, from Satan's affliction, sins, diseases, curses, and oppression? Only Jesus. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus. The final problem that Jesus solved, I will mention this and then I will wrap up with the matter of Rahab. The final problem that Jesus solved is the problem of God. Ladies and gentlemen, some of us who have done some theological study, you probably will have come across something called the insanity of Luther. Anybody like that? You know how the doctrine of salvation by faith, you know, the Protestant Reformation over 500 years ago, you know how that doctrine was restored? Martin Luther was told by the church that all you need to do is just keep going to church, do all the penance, do all the different things, and you will be okay. And Martin Luther began to read the Bible. The more he read the Bible and saw the character of God, the more he saw his sinfulness and the impossibility of doing anything that will make him righteous in the sight of God. The more he read the Bible, the more he saw the incredible holiness of God and the horrible sinfulness of human beings. And he knew that this was impossible. Luther was going crazy until one day, where he was wrestling with this thing and praying, he came to the book of Romans and he read, he said, the just shall live by faith. By faith in what Jesus has done. By faith in Jesus who shed his blood. And now he can wash us and make us accepted in the presence of Almighty God. Salvation is important. The reason is because if you are not saved, you are lost forever. If you are not saved, you are not safe. If you look at the matter of Rahab, you see the manifestation of the grace of God. And there are so many dimensions when you look at Rahab. First of all, remember that Jericho was an across city. Is that not so? So you can see that anybody who was in Jericho was going to perish. That's exactly how all of us are. Then an opportunity came. News came. Those spies, first of all, the news of those Israelites was flying around Rahab's head. And then those spies came to her house. Why was it Rahab's house that the spies came to? Why was it her house? It was grace. There's no way the spies never knew her before. In fact, when those spies came in, Rahab looked at them and something said, these are not your regular type of customers. These ones are different. She said, oh, they're Israelites. And then she began to have conversation with them. We don't know how and why Rahab ended up as a prostitute. We don't know. We don't know what happened. We don't know her background. We are not told. But Rahab was not your nice girl. Rahab was, she was a pro. Rahab was an international prostitute. How do I know that? Because she lived on the wall. So she had customers from the city on this side, and she had customers from international customers who are traveling and passing by on this other side of the road. This was Rahab's job. Now, the spies came to Rahab. She negotiated with them, and you know the rest of the story of how those spies told her what to do. We had the Bible study this morning. I wish more of us were around. Those spies told her what to do, and Rahab eventually was saved. But here is the part I want to wrap up with. Can you imagine that? Oh, the grace of God. The grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no hope outside of grace. And we access grace by faith. The grace of God. What is grace? This is important. Then I'll connect you to Rahab. Grace is two words that summarize grace for me. Grace is omnipotent benevolence. Grace is the kindness of the Almighty. Almighty kindness. That is grace. You see, grace is more than the forgiveness of sin. Huh? Grace is more than the forgiveness of sin. Grace is the kindness of God, which now manifests in forgiveness of sin, provision of our needs, other areas of life. Because everything we have and everything we receive is by grace. Amen? So, it was this grace that located Rahab. And Rahab believed. That's the faith component. So, we read in Hebrews 11:31, he said, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Faith cannot perish with unbelief. Oi, there's somebody in this place, there's something you are believing God for. You will not perish. You will not be disappointed. That faith is your anchor to God's almighty power. Blessed be God forevermore. So you know the story, when the wall eventually fell down, it was only Rahab's house that was left standing. And so those spies went and got out Rahab. And I want you to just picture, please look at this. Just picture Rahab coming out. And behind Rahab, you have her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, her relatives. And all of them are shaking like that as they are coming out of the city of Jericho. And they are all shaking as they are coming out. They are coming out. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the prostitute that God decided to use to bring salvation to the rest of the family. Why is it Rahab? Grace. Grace was not done with Rahab. After some time, one of those Israelite guys started saying, hi, Rara, hi. Rahab said, please, leave me alone. This Rara business, please. I think, this is Thorsten's brother Ferdinand, I think it was one of those spies. This is my opinion.
Leave me with it.
Cut the long story short, ladies and gentlemen, of all the virgin Israelite girls, it was Rara that was getting married. And Rara is singing along with this guy, and this is how Rara got married. Grace was not done with Rara. You know, as a doctor, I trained as a doctor. You know, when women have lived an immoral life, infection can scatter their internal biology, block the tubes, all kinds of things. Ladies and gentlemen, shortly after, Rara was pregnant, expecting a baby. Shortly after, Rara, hey guys, as you go, God bless you. And remember to set yourself apart, okay? And to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Rara is pregnant. Rara gives birth. What's the name of this baby, everybody? Boaz. After some time, Boaz marries a woman called Ruth and gives birth to another baby called Obed. And then Obed gives birth to a son called Jesse. And then Jesse becomes the father of David the king. Grace not only delivered our Rara, grace integrated her into the line of the Messiah. This is grace. This is grace. God's grace. God's amazing grace. And that grace is available today in church. No matter what you have done, if you will reach out in faith, you can experience salvation. And you can know that you are saved. I was very religious before, but I know when I got saved, Jesus came into my heart. He washed my sins away. As a 19 year old in medical school, Jesus changed my heart. And I've never doubted salvation. You can know that you are saved in this world. All you need to do is open your heart to God's grace. Let us pray. Let's pray now. This is your opportunity to respond to the grace of God. Oh, grace is available here today. The same grace that was extended to Rahab is available. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, that grace is calling your name. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who labor and you are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. No, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world, we might live. All you need to do is to believe in him, to surrender to him, to open your heart to his grace, to receive mercy. Oh, Father, thank you. I would like to pray with you. I want to give you opportunity. Don't miss a wondrous day like this. You can know that you are saved. Your fears, your guilt, your condemnation, your past, they will be blotted out by the blood of Jesus. All you need to do is to reach out in faith and receive the gift of salvation purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would like to receive that gift of salvation, please put up your hand. I would like to pray with you. You are saying, Brother Ferdinand, yes, please pray with me. I want this salvation. Nobody is too big to receive salvation. You cannot be too rich. Your money will not be present on Judgment Day. I said, your money will not be, whether you lived in VGC or you lived in, Banana Island, will not matter. The main question will be, is your name in the book of life? Have your sins been washed away? That's the big matter. And that grace is available to you today. Just put up your hand, we will pray together. You will receive a new heart. Your past will be blotted out. You will have peace with God. Please put the hand above your head. Thank you. Just so I can see. Thank you. Okay. I see someone on that side. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Anyone up there? Just indicate. Thank you. Thank you very much. I see you. Wonderful. Salvation has consequences. You receive an inheritance. Incorruptible. Wow. What a blessed day. Any more persons? Please just indicate. I want to pray with you. And then we will be done here. Thank you. Do you mind just coming? Please come to me here. Let me pray with you. And then things can move on from there. Those of you putting up your hand, please come. Just come, walk down. I mean, receiving salvation is not something to be ashamed of. You have this continual condemnation, always feeling condemned about your past. God wants to forgive you. Please come, I want to pray with you. Thank you very much, my sister. Come. Thank you. There are more. You were putting up your hand. Please come. I'll pray with you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, my brother. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for my dear brethren just receiving you in the name of Jesus, because they have stepped forward to receive this gift that Jesus purchased. Eternal Father, let their sins be canceled, blotted out in Jesus' name. Let the assurance of your salvation now settle in their hearts in Jesus' name. Say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord of my heart. Jesus, I believe that God raised you from the dead. You are alive. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, blessed Father. Lord, I ask that you will fill them with your spirit and give them zeal to love you, to spend time with your word all the days of their lives, and to walk in your victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's also pray for everybody else. If there is something you are trusting God for, salvation enables you to receive an inheritance that is incorruptible. Let's agree in prayer over any need that you want God's intervention. Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree with my brother, with my sister. Anyone that is sick in their bodies, Father, touch them with your healing power. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command your healing. Sickness, depart from their bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, people that have impossible situations facing them, undertake for them. Father, undertake for them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you very much. Can somebody please direct them your follow-up arrangements? Thank you. God bless you. What do you want? Does somebody want to speak with them? Thank you.